Well, blessings today. We're in our feast teaching. This is Pastor Tim Karskatten here at Christian Center Shreveport. Daily podcast. We're teaching on Rosh Hashanah, the head of the new year, the Feast of Trumpets. And we've been releasing a prophetic insight to you on this promise. And today, we're going to talk about how Rosh Hashanah is a promise of resurrection of everything that was lost. Right. Let's get back what's been taken.
What it takes, believe it. Any wrong can be made right. Just forgive it, you need not fight. Shana tova umetuka. It's Rosh Hashanah.
Shana na 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 tova umetuka. Dip your apple in the honey.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
So many new hopes waiting to find you. Open your eyes, the dreams you prize are all around you. The smiles are hiding, no use in guessing.
Well, I just love that message of what hope springs eternal. Really, that's what this feast speaks of. Well, you made it. It's Thursday. It's the 14th day of September 2023, a day before Rosh Hashanah, which will be tomorrow night. We'll be celebrating at Christian Center Shreveport, 207 Idema Shreveport, Louisiana. Come and see us if you're in the region. If not, you can watch online on all our platforms from our website, ChristianCenterShreveport.com, as well as our app and Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. So we're out there. You can find us anywhere that's most convenient to you. As we celebrate, as we go into 5784, this is a face-to-face encounter. We're talking about this year as well. Pay, the Hebrew letter, which is face. And my heart's cry is that God's face will always shine upon us, like the Aaronic blessing says, because when the Lord's face is not shining, as you see in the book of Jeremiah, upon the land of Israel, then Israel goes into captivity. We don't want to go there. We want to walk in the freedom that God has prepared for us. Well, let's close out this teaching today. Let's lay it out here, sharing the story of Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, as we talk about one thing that it means. And I want to close out this prophetic insight because the Lord's talking about creative miracles. But this is a feast that also speaks about resurrection of everything that was lost. We see as Job, lost everything, it got restored. And that was a type of Rosh Hashanah. And now we see another type was when Abraham, when the binding of Isaac, everything that was promised to Abraham had been given up. He was willing to lay it on the altar. It's the same trial as Job, except God tells Abraham to stop. That's the difference. The same circumstance, take away what he has loved and he will deny you. It's the same attack that he put on Job. But Abraham stayed faithful, as Hebrews 11 tells us, that Abraham surmised that even if God were to take it away, he would resurrect it. And that's our word today. Even if the Lord was to ask you to give up the very thing that's most dear to you, if you trust the Lord that he's faithful, you will have that same resurrection hope. You will not think, well, what am I going to do if I don't have this? How can I fulfill my mandate if I don't have this? And yet faith in the message of Rosh Hashanah will tell you that there's always an opportunity for the Lord to resurrect. That's why we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise. The key there is don't curse in the midst of loss, because the shofar will give it back. You lost your loved ones. You lost your family members. We've lost so many saints, right? Through martyrdom, through death, and all different things. And guess what? We're going to get them all back. The ram in the thicket. That's a type of Christ, Abraham, right? He gave back Abraham his promise, his inheritance, and the inheritance of us all. Do you understand that sacrifice was so powerful? And the shofar, the Rosh Hashanah message, is eternal. It is a message that goes on for generations. And you can begin to believe for that. So today, the Jewish people in the land of Israel, it's a picture of the trial of Job. The Jewish people, and now us by adoption, have throughout history had everything stolen and taken away, yet there has always been a remnant of people that refuse to deny God and curse him. And God's infinite wisdom and the powers and principalities cannot understand. It's being proven through the children of God. That's what Luke 7:35 says. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. That's us. We're the offspring. We talked about that. The lineage it talks about in Genesis, I'm sorry, Isaiah 53, I think it's 10 or somewhere around there, where he says that he prolongs his days, Jesus does, through his death and resurrection. How does he prolong his days? Through his people. He left the earth, but through the Holy Spirit's coming and abiding in a people, he prolongs his days. So Satan thought at the resurrection, I mean at the crucifixion, it was over, but the resurrection changed all that. And because then he brought the Holy Spirit, and not only did he come back in the form of a spirit, but he multiplied himself in all the saints. Think about that. 3,000 that one day, 5,000 later, on and on it goes, and the gospel ends up going to the ends of the earth, right? And so Satan, instead of destroying the message of the gospel of the kingdom, he multiplied it. That's the power of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar. Jesus was the ram in the thicket. He was the sound, his blood, the blowing of his life, the breath of his life is the very thing. And what did he do at Pentecost? Breathe the Holy Spirit upon them, right? It came with tongues of fire. Every time you face a trial or loss and you don't deny or curse God, you blow a shofar in the Spirit and confuse the enemy, because he is sure you will deny him, the Lord. He's sure of it, because so many people have. But we're not going to be those people, are we? So we revisit God's wisdom of the first Rosh Hashanah every time we prove him right and Satan wrong, when we didn't or we don't lose faith and we persevere on in humility, not spending all our energy blaming others, blaming the enemy, but rather say, whether we have or we have not, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, the sages also say that your tears that you weep during your loss are not denial, but they become a shofar sound and let the enemy know that there will be vindication for all the losses of all the things, and all the things will be restored. I was reading the last verse of Joel 3. And he talked about how the Lord said he was going to avenge, you know, the blood of those who came against Israel. And he says there, I will avenge those that I have not dealt with yet. That's a paraphrase. But basically he said he'd avenge some of it, but he's going to finish the vengeance. And I want to say this to you. If you look like, it looks like God didn't complete the job, he will complete the task and he will vindicate us. That's the promise of Rosh Hashanah. That is why repentance at this time of the year is the focus, because it restores all things. As it says in Acts chapter 3, 19:21, it says, therefore repent and return so that your sins will be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive till the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. Thus, the end of the books of Job and Revelation, right? What happened in Job? When you read that story in Job 42 about all that he got back, oh my gosh, more money, more wealth, children blessed, his family blessed, every part of it. And then when you read in Revelation how it ends, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city, restoration of all things. How dare the church ever be anti-Semitic when the Jewish people have taught us so much about Rosh Hashanah and how to keep the faith in the midst of losing everything. time and time again. And on this Rosh Hashanah, we can learn that all humanity owes them a debt of gratitude for participating in godly wisdom and reaping the blessing of being joined to the commonwealth of Israel. That's our promise. And we honor, we say sometimes this is a Jewish feast, but it's really not. It's a biblical feast. It's a gift from God for us to remember, number one, but it also is a revelation of our salvation. It tells us the beauty of Christ and what he came for and how he came for all men, both Jew and Gentile. And that's the beauty. You know, we dipped the honey in the apple we talked about. You heard that in the song, in the introduction there. It's so delicious that the Bible notes that the manna God fed the Israelites with the desert after Exodus from Egypt tasted like the cake fried in honey. That's what Exodus 16:31 says. Jewish tradition records that manna tasted like whatever the person eating it most desired it to taste like. Now, I like that idea. I don't know if it's true, but I'd love to think that's to be true. The Midrash, which is a Jewish commentary, notes that several ways the Jews and Torah are compared to bees. Just as bees follow leaders, so today Jews follow prophets and sages who advise them. So as bees can bring both sweetness and sting, so the Torah brings sweetness to those who follow it and can cause bitterness to those who realize they've missed an opportunity to learn about it. Just as bees collect sweet nectar, so too the Jewish people collect sweetness in the form of mitzvah or in good deeds. Now that's what their teachings are. Like, I'm not here to teach Jewish, rabbinical teaching, but that's just one of their thoughts. King Solomon did compare honey to wisdom. He said, "Eat honey, my child, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet on your palate. So is knowledge and wisdom to your soul." I eat honey every day, a little bit, whatever, whether I put it in my tea or my breakfast or whatever. I think it's made me healthier. I think that I can not deny that, but it speaks of the word. He talks about his name is like honey on my lips in Song of Songs. Remember when John in the book of Revelation eats this book that the angel gave him, he said it be as honey on your lips. It becomes bitter in your belly, and that goes along with what the Jewish tradition there is. It both has the sting and the sweetness with it. I think sometimes the sting is, or the bitterness of it is, oh my gosh, this is the word of the Lord, but it's not going to be easy to walk out. And when you recognize when the Lord's given you a word, you get excited, right? But then the task of walking it out becomes difficult. In that story of John, when he did eat the book and the Lord asked him to eat of it, and he did, he said, then you must prophesy against the nations. And so for whatever reason, John must have been struggling with the prophecies because like, God, come on, Lord, you've been showing me all this crazy stuff. Read the book of Revelation. But yet it was always, as we just read there in Revelation 17, that the shofar, the coming of the Lord, is going to bring reward with it. And I want to say this to you. God, in this Rosh Hashanah, wants to restore everything that's been lost. It's resurrection of everything that was lost. I want you to believe for that. So when you pray right now, and as we pray with you, as we close out this teaching, and this revelatory word, that let's believe for everything that's been taken, that we've had promises from the Lord, that we would see them resurrected. That as Abram was bringing that sword down or that knife down on his son, the Lord says, stop, there's a ram in the thicket. The ram is the shofar. That's that horn, that ram. And he is that male lamb, Jesus was. And so we have a sacrifice that we don't have to sacrifice for. He already did the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life and every part of his being. And when he blows his trumpet one day, and the dead in Christ shall rise, that's what we believe. I believe this from my whole heart, that this season is when the Lord will return. I don't know which Rosh Hashanah, I don't know which day, but I do believe it will happen. I think he's already done the first four. He's going to surely do the next three. I just believe that with all my heart. It's not worth, dying over, but it's a truth that I believe we can hold fast to. So let's pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everybody that's listened to this prophetic insight, this word this week. And we are so excited about this feast, Lord. Thank you for giving it to us as a gift to remind us, as you say in 1 Corinthians 5, to not neglect these feasts, but to remember them. Don't do it like in the old, but Lord, with love, with the truth of sincerity that you give us. Lord, we ask for the truth of this message to permeate all of our hearts, and we call for the resurrection of everything that's been lost.
What a lovely
in the name of Jesus, we declare it. Amen and amen. Well, blessings to you. Come back tomorrow for Supernatural Friday. We love you all. Thanks for listening each and every day here on our podcast. We love you. Don't forget, we're coming into feast season. So starting this Friday night at 6:30, we'll be doing our Rosh Hashanah service. Don't miss it. If you're in the Shreveport-Bossier area, come and see it and be with us. If you're not, watch online as we share the truths of the feast. These are revelations that reveal why we are saved and the power of our salvation through Christ Jesus. For he is the feast, and he fulfilled them all. You can watch online at our website, ChristianCenterShreveport.com, YouTube, Facebook, or go to our app. Thanks for joining us today. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.